You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. In the science world, the announcement about the Earth Biogenome Project couldn't have been bigger. A team of researchers led by Dr. Harris Lewin planned to map the DNA of every living organism on Earth, and to do it, they think, in about 10 years. A moonshot for biology, Dr. Lewin has called it. He is professor of evolution and ecology at UC Davis. It's not easy to get a window of time with him, but he's here today to update us on the biogenome work. Welcome. It's really wonderful to have you in the studio.
Good morning, Beth. It's a pleasure to be here.
Would you tell me about the range of reaction to your announcement?
Yeah, the range is just completely all over the map. You know, the first reaction is typically great skepticism. Then moves to, wow, this really is possible, to great enthusiasm. And finally, you know, how can we help? How can we participate?
Will this be the biggest scientific study that's ever happened?
It'll be the biggest scientific study in biology that's ever happened in terms of, you know, the number of people involved and the cost. The Human Genome Project cost about $3 billion back in, in about 1990, in the 1990s, in inflation-adjusted dollars today, that's about $5 billion. Our project will come in at less than that. So imagine that we could sequence every organism on the planet, all eukaryotic organisms, those with a nucleus, for less than the cost of just sequencing the human genome 25 years ago.
That speaks to the changes in technology and costs, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yes. There have been tremendous advances in DNA sequencing technology. We say that the cost of sequencing has come down like the inverse of Moore's law, you know, in computing. And, you know, today we're at about a millionth of the cost of sequencing a base of DNA as we were when I started sequencing as an assistant professor back in the 1980s.
Wow. That's phenomenal, but that isn't the only key to why it's doable, right?
That is the major technological advance that allows us to even think about sequencing all organisms. The second is the advances in computing, because this is a really big data project. It'll be the biggest data set ever generated, including astronomical data sets. We now say, we like to say that this is a genomical amount of data, not an astronomical amount of data.
Genomical amount. Let's talk about the scope of that. Just for comparison, how many species on Earth have been fully sequenced so far?
Yeah, to date, 2,500 of the 1.5 million known eukaryotic species have had their genome sequenced. So that's less than 0.2% of all known eukaryotic species on the planet. So all of our knowledge about, you know, in biology, the genomic basis for many of the traits are derived from, you know, less than 0.2% of what's there. So just imagine what we're going to learn from the other 99.8%.
Are you only targeting known species at this point, or are you assuming that you're going to uncover and discover something new in the process?
Well, we have two strategies. One is to target the known species, but the other strategy is to sample deep into existing ecosystems. And by doing that, we're going to discover new species practically without even trying. They're there. We just don't know what's there. We don't know what we don't know.
I love that phrase. I mean, that's all about the questions that we have on Earth, right?
Right.
Let's get back to the Human Genome Project, which you mentioned, and whether your work has been influenced by that and became a template for what you'll do.
The Human Genome Project really was the, you know, the template for all of genome projects that followed. There have been many genome projects. The ones that I was involved in early on, in the early at the turn of the millennium, was the bovine genome project, the cattle genome project, and as well as the swine genome project, and then several others. As it became cheaper and cheaper, we just began to churn out more genomes for the kinds of analysis that we wanted to do. But the Human Genome Project set many examples of collaborative interactions among very large laboratories, both in the United States and around the world. And without that international collaboration, the Human Genome Project would have never been completed. And so it is really a template for what we're trying to do with the Earth Biogenome Project, because we have now about 30 laboratories in 6 countries that have signed up to our project. Mm. And that number is growing on a monthly basis.
So when you were talking about reaction in the beginning to, wow, this really can be done and how can I help, you're looking for lab partners then. You're also looking for funding partners, funding support.
We're looking for large international research organizations in countries where there's a large amount of biodiversity that exists, because many countries do not want to send their biodiversity outside of their country because they believe that the biodiversity is a resource for potential economic development. So they would like to develop the infrastructure within those countries to do this kind of work. So we are working with many different organizations, large and small, in different countries to sign them up to the project. But we also have a strong public component to what we would like to do. To collect 1.5 million species, which is one of the major bottlenecks of the project, we need to involve more than just the scientific community. We need to engage the public. And we're doing that in California in a project which is the California chapter of the Earth Biogenome Project through what we call BioBlitzes, where the public gets engaged with scientists, and they go out in the field and they're able to collect, document, and voucher specimens that will be eventually used for the sequencing.
I know you just piqued someone's interest out there. So how or when is that happening here? And if we post a link to the Biogenome Project, do people find out information that way?
Yeah, there is a website for the Earth Biogenome Project. It's www.earthbiogenome.org. And there's going to be information posted there periodically as the project progresses. The official launch of the project is November 1st in London, in England, which is going to be sponsored by the Wellcome Trust. And then after that, the individual projects that will contribute to the Earth Biogenome Project will be seeking support, of course, for not just financial support, but the support for these BioBlitzes where the public will engage and go out and participate in the collection and analysis of the genome sequences from all of life that's on our planet.
You are listening to Dr. Harris Lewin. He is Distinguished Professor of Evolution and Ecology at the UC Davis College of Biological Sciences. He's also Distinguished Professor of Population Health and Reproduction in the School of Veterinary Medicine. You said the official launch is November, but is work already beginning?
Yes, the work has been going on for the past three to five years. The seeds of this project were planted back in 2009 with a group of scientists that got together to sequence 10,000 vertebrate genomes. Vertebrates are those with a backbone, right?
That was the same time as your work on the dairy cow.
That's right. And we were involved in, we already began to think about how we could scale up, because so many important things were being discovered both in the agricultural organisms, plants and animals, as well as in organisms that are important in our environment. That it was clear that we needed to start to scale up so that we can capture the maximum amount of new knowledge and new applications from what's already here on our planet. People think that it's this is expensive at $4.7 billion, but over 10 years. But think about that. That's $470 million a year globally. It's not very much. And then you think about some of the other big science projects. I'll give you one example, the Large Hadron Collider in Switzerland, which was important for the discovery of the Higgs boson.
Right.
That project Just the discovery of the Higgs boson costs $13.2 billion, and the facility has a $1 billion a year operating budget. And I like to ask my students and others, you know, what has the Higgs boson done for you lately? I can tell you what the human genome has done, and the cattle genome, and the chicken genome, and swine genome. All of those have, you know, yielded tremendously important scientific and commercial advances. And so this project, you know, in terms of its scale, the number of people and the outcomes that we expect is going to be very important in the everyday lives of every person on the planet.
When you were talking earlier about countries and how they do or don't want to share their biodiversity in shipping it, moving it to other labs, I was thinking about that concept of biology property or genomic property, and that your work is going to reach into policy, into health discoveries, even into pharmaceutical and marketing eventually. Is your team looking at all of that and where it might go, or do you just focus on the plan you have, which is over the next 10 years to do the collection?
Yes, we have a very large interdisciplinary team that's looking at all aspects of this, including the intellectual property aspects and what we call access and benefit sharing provisions under the Convention for Biological Diversity, Nagoya Protocols, which we have pledged. Every institution that is signing up to the Earth Biogenome Project has agreed to abide by the Nagoya Protocols, which ensures benefit sharing to those countries and those communities that contribute biodiversity to the project, from which some potential commercial product or application might derive. So we have really been thinking about this. We have a relatively large group that's engaged in this. And in fact, the World Economic Forum is sponsoring an entire group within the World Economic Forum called the Earth Bank of Codes, which is developing new technologies like blockchain technology to control the access to the data and make sure that those that are accessing the data will be abiding by the Nagoya Protocols. So we are really taking that issue very seriously, because if we don't, you know, I like to say, if there's no access, there's no benefit. And if there's no benefit, there will not be any access.
Mm. Well, I hope this is the beginning of a continuing dialogue that we'll have as you make discoveries along the way. I am interested in whether realistically there will ever be an end date. I know 10 years is your initial time frame, but truly this work could go on forever.
That's right. Well, we hope not forever, but the 1.5 million species we really think we can do in 10 years. The real issue is that there's probably another 10 million species that we don't know about. And so in 10 years from now, when we complete the 1.5 million and I'm back on your show and you're going to ask me, well, what are you going to do now? I'm going to say, we'll be planning to do the next 10 million.
And I'm going to say, remember when I used the word forever? That's the part I was talking about.
By then, it'll be so inexpensive, we'll probably be able to
Isn't
do it
that
all
something?
In just,
you know,
a few years.
Wow. Well, thanks again for making time for us today, and I look forward to our next conversation.
My pleasure, Besh. Thanks for the invitation.
That is Dr. Harris Lewin, professor of evolution and ecology at UC Davis and the leader of the Earth Biogenome Project. We will post that link. There will be more information and some linked stories as well at capradio.org/insight. This is Insight on Cap Radio.